Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Gary Smith.
Okay, I want to pop the top
in honor.
2022.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Now, welcome to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. By the way, could we have more legal news?
Oh, I don't
tried.
Oh, I don't think so.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but let me begin. For all of you who have tweeted at Gary and I, by the way, a quick reveal, that Merry Christmas picture with Adam kind of like a corner of my face, Gary, and on Christmas, that wasn't Gary.
No, that was the one and only Jake Garagus.
Yeah.
And exactly.
Who bears a striking resemblance. And, you know, we may have to do a 23andMe sponsored show at some point about the fact that my son looks remarkably like you, to the point where out of 600 likes and retweets, only one person caught the fact that they didn't think it was Gary.
Well, Jake's a very handsome man and about 10 years younger than me, so I'll take it. I'll take every single like and retweet.
I love it. You know, interesting today because a lot of the news, I know it's January 6th, everybody's talking about the insurrection. Mm-hmm. I personally am, I take affront to that because January 6th is for the last 1700 and some odd years, Armenian Christmas. So Merry Armenian Christmas. I guess in America for the next, you know, number of years, it's going to be known as the anniversary of the insurrection, aka riot, trespass if you're a believer, blah, blah, blah. But it is one of the most sacred holy days. It is the traditional day on the calendar for Christmas. And to everyone, warm wishes.
And to you as well, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. And so I will give you an update on Maxwell. You know, we talked about it. She was convicted of 5 of the 6 counts. Mm-hmm. And I have been of the opinion, I think with you, Gary, talking on, you know, the people have got the tape, that I think before the case, before the trial, I thought she had a massively uphill battle.
Yeah.
I thought that the opening statements were really well done. I thought the way they kind of weaved in what had happened, how the they had evidence that the statements that were made, that the 4 particular accusers that they were putting on the stand all had a common denominator, which was they had changed their stories and they had after they had cashed a check.
Right.
And I thought that was good. And I thought they had done a better than workman-like job. I was somewhat surprised by the verdicts of guilty. Although I thought that it was a little coercive when they asked the question, do we have to stay here on New Year's Eve and New Year's? And the judge indicated that they did. But I understand that's what most judges are doing now, especially in the face of COVID, which has upended the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, in every way that anybody listens to these broadcasts know. Interestingly, then, this gentleman, do you have a picture of this guy from this, Gary? Because I need to comment on one thing.
One of the jurors
did an interview either with The Guardian or The Daily Mail.
I think it was The Independent, actually.
Maybe The Independent. Okay, I'm going to point out something. I will get a lot of hater hoes. tweeting at me. But one of the things, if I'm part of what you do when you're doing jury selection is jury deselection. So you check social media accounts, you check any publicly available databases. And if you come up with a picture similar or reminiscent of this, this is the gentleman, this is the juror, this is not the picture I'm talking about. There's a picture of him with his pet. This is the juror that came forward and has caused the kerfuffle. Do you have the one with his
pet? Oh, with his pet. I'm sorry. I misheard you. One moment here. But
that's fine. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm defending a woman who's accused of being a predator. The defense is she's a proxy for her ex, who is now dead, who is universally reviled and hated. This picture is a not just a peremptory challenge, but a for-cause challenge, if Gary can find it. Look at him. He's feverishly doing it. Anyway, while he's looking, I will tell you, the government, Southern District, I think her name is Maureen Comey, who was the prosecutor, who was, by all accounts, an extremely skilled prosecutor, daughter of James Comey, the former director. She wrote a letter to the court after the gentleman you just saw gave an interview to one of the British tabloids. And Gary, we had also talked about that. Do you remember?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble with this picture here. I'll stick on it though. Let's
keep going. There was a feline quality to it.
Yeah.
So they wrote a letter to the court, the prosecution did. And I think responsibly, ethically, drawing attention to the court, that the interview that this particular juror gave, if you accept that what was reported is true, that he says he was the victim of abuse, that he related those encounters to the jury, that shaped the jury deliberations, convinced another juror to reveal his past
abuse, yeah,
and that was one of the reasons that they were able to basically break the deadlock. Now, if this is true, this may be, and I've had juror deliberation slash declaration slash Peterson being the most renowned in the last 2 months with Strawberry Shortcake. This may be the best fact pattern I've ever seen of this. And I have won these cases, reversals in these cases on more than one occasion. And if everything that has been said is true, it may be the single best fact pattern I've ever seen for a reversal.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the articles are sort of saying if it's determined he from his questionnaire, that's not something they burn, right? Those are probably still around and something.
Questionnaires are there. They're lodged with the court.
Right.
It's clear already to me that, by the way, the government's not writing a letter to the judge asking for a hearing. They've already reviewed, I will bet you any amount of money, they've reviewed the questionnaires. He did not reveal this. He's now revealed not only that he basically flew through the questionnaire, quote unquote, but didn't answer that question correctly, quote unquote, but more fatal to the prosecution case, that it influenced juror deliberations. Now, there is a federal rule about bringing in evidence of juror deliberations, but this guy's already gone in and violated that.
Right. And, you know, he even made some statements that I think will be used against him as well about how, you know, he really saw this as a victory for all victims everywhere and stuff like that, which is a fine sentiment without all of the other bad facts coming before them.
Well, and that's precisely why the defense their heads are exploding if you had the emoji, because they have now written in response to the government letter. Remember, this is unprecedented where the government is bringing this to the court's attention first. The defense then responds, because the government asked for a hearing in a month. The defense says, no, you don't need a hearing. This is it. You can watch the interview. Case over. Just grant a new trial. I think that's highly unlikely. I think there will be a hearing. I think there will be evidence adduced. And like I said, I have never seen a case there. How'd you?
I will never. So I will never let you down. I just sometimes it takes a second. Okay. But
there is no way if I'm defending Miss Maxwell, and if I had seen this, or if I knew about this, or if this was in any way, shape, or form in the social media search, and I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt that this is a picture taken after the fact, that is a peremptory challenge all day long.
You wouldn't sit my wife on a jury either, then.
There's it says a lot about people. You know, people used to make fun of me when I would say, I want to know on jury questionnaires, do you have pets? If so, what kind? Do you have a bumper sticker? Do you, what cable news shows do you watch?
Yeah.
You can learn more about a human.
Oh, I was messing with you. I completely agree. And the bumper sticker one is a perfect example, because it's, you know, it's like, that's an indicator.
Well, this is interesting. If I get the social media handles, and I've had this fight with the government most recently, last federal trial I had, the government objected to a question on the juror questionnaire where I wanted the jurors to disclose their Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook handles. They said that was intrusive. I said, no, that's outward facing. I only want the public facing, because it takes any of my team about 3 minutes to go through your Twitter, go through your Instagram, go through your Facebook, and I know who you are.
Yeah,
period, end of story. Why do you think that people like Cambridge Analytics get paid the exorbitant amounts of money they do? Why do you think that Facebook understands and can micro-target the way they do?
Oh, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it's 100% an amazing amount of data, and if you have the people that know how to interpret that data, it's an invaluable resource.
And it's malpractice per se if a lawyer doesn't do that kind of search or doesn't do that kind of research.
Yeah, you know what absolutely. I'm saying? I mean, you're
and then it. Here you go, because I don't know if this picture was taken before or after, but I'll bet you, gauging by this picture, I'm going to speculate, rank speculation, that there are other social media posts that are consistent with this one that would have told you this is the absolute last jury you'd want on this case.
All right. There's one more case we have to cover. Some late breaking news out of South Carolina, right?
Wow. This is in any other day or age, this would have been the lead, but say it.
Yeah. So apparently Fitz News, who has kind of been the main source for the breaking news coming out of the Murdaugh case that we've been covering for several months now, feels like almost a
year. This is the lawyer
the saga started, at least it came to our attention, when a wife and son were found murdered at a hunting ranch, murdered by two different weapons, one of them murdered with an AR style rifle, the other with a shotgun. And then it came out that months prior, the son, who was the victim of the murder, had been involved in a boating accident where he had, there was a victim in that crash where a young woman died who he was, you know, on the boat with. And then it came out that a few years before that, there was some screwy stuff with one of the other sons being involved in a death of a local boy who was possibly LGBTQ. They had the I can't keep them all straight. They had the housekeeper who tripped and fell and died, and then the lawyer stole all the money.
Supposedly, he had a confidant of his represent the family.
His best friend.
You're right. They committed some kind of, or alleged to have committed some kind of insurance fraud. You know, by the way, Gary, before the big show tomorrow, can't we find Dick Harpootlian? Dick, if you're watching, you need to call it. Dick represents him. I've known Dick for decades. I think the world of Vic. I would love to hear what he has to say.
I'm sure Adam would as well. We'll reach out and we'll see what we can do. But the latest breaking, you know, story is that although they had long said that he was not necessarily a suspect or maybe was a person of interest at times, they are now saying that it is likely that the SLED, which is the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division who's handling this, is very close to getting an arrest warrant for Alex Murdaugh for the murder of his wife and son.
For the murder? I mean, well, I've always said, as you know, that there's something that we don't know about the connection with him and the murders. I've never accused or.
I always thought it was gambling. I always thought somebody.
I'm with you. I just thought it was gambling debts. Because who else is going to murder two family members and leave the bread earner alive other than to send a message? And obviously it had to be substantial.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a big change in this case. I got to be honest. There's nothing that will surprise me in this case, but that wasn't one I saw coming.
Well, I still have my doubts because it'll be interesting to see. I don't know, you know, the other kind of layer of the onion of this story was he supposedly set up with an ex-client or a current client or a swell client a supposed shooting at the side of the road when his car was disabled.
Right.
And he was trying to, if you believe the prosecution, was trying to collect on an insurance policy for the remaining son of his. That's a hard narrative to fit in with the new narrative that's being leaked. But let's wait and see. I mean, obviously, the authorities have more information, but I would still presume skepticism before I would jump on the guilt bandwagon.
Absolutely, I agree. I'm reinvigorated with my interest in this case. So we will keep a close eye on it and report to you fine people who listen to us. And thank you very much for doing so. We really value you guys and we love doing the show. Mark, thank you for carving out the time in your busy day.
Thank you, Jake. I mean,
all right, we'll see you on Saturday. Merry Christmas, Mark. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.